a Rayo original podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio,
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, yes. Hello and welcome to the Confessions podcast, brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. And after the scorching heat, which some people have had this week, you'll be glad to know that this podcast has been officially tested and has been found that it cools you down.
Mm-hmm. It cools you down as long as listen to it in an air-conditioned room or something?
It just has properties.
Oh, by itself? It's got the properties, has it?
Yep. You plug in the headphones and you feel cool because you're listening to the coolest podcast.
Oh, I see. There's a play on
this. Is this scientific twaddle?
Very good, yes.
Probably.
Could be.
Anyway, as you can tell, Sister Susie is joining us live from the pub there.
Indeed.
Brother Matt is live from his gutter.
Yep.
And how come Sister Holly is off again?
Again?
Yeah, she's got a half day today.
A half day?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Which is the half she's working?
She worked this morning.
Well, she was in this morning, was she?
Oh, right, that's nice. The show's on the afternoon.
Someone needs to tell her that, but anyway, never mind.
Anyway, later, we'll stop at the parish notice board for all the latest. Who's in charge of the tack cupboard?
Well, yes, no one, apparently.
Yeah.
Help yourselves.
Yeah.
All the latest notices and five-star reviews. Also, the not-for-broadcast section. All the confessions that made it onto the show this week, including Stephanie's prank, you've been thunderstruck.
Oh, very good.
Dave's Dolly Parton disaster, working 9 to 5. Mr. Lloyd's confession, all that scratching is making me itch. But we start with Nick's sibling confession, ringing their own bells.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So today's confession comes from Nick in inverted commas. In fact, all these names, I think, are in inverted commas. I think it contains mild peril. So
oh, really?
It's a PG, then the first Toy Story film was a PG as well.
Yeah.
So. Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie. Fast approaching is my sister's 50th birthday, and I feel that it is now time to confess to an incident that happened more than 40 years ago. The year is 1984, and my older brother, Matt, had just started at secondary school. I've always, and still do, look up to Matt, so when he joined this school, I was keen to know what it had taught him so far. It seemed that the most important thing he'd learnt was how to play rugby, because this was a rugby-playing school.
Oh.
No football here, that was for sissies, and expectations were high. I thoroughly enjoyed hearing the stories of hard-fought games, but my particular passion was to learn about the defensive side of the beautiful game, the art of tackling.
Yes.
This is where my sister, let's call her Lucy, comes in. I begged Matt to teach me how to tackle, rugby style. As a grumpy teenager, he was less than keen, but eventually agreed. However, he insisted that we needed a tackle bag. As we didn't own said tackle bag, it was decided that a large bean bag plus our sister would be the perfect replacement. After wedging a couple of doors open, ensuring that we could build up enough speed in our run, we were ready to begin. What could possibly go wrong? Father Simon, the first few tackles went swimmingly, with my brother and I honing our technique, making sure the tackles were hard enough for me to make the school team when I went there the following year. Unfortunately, what we'd failed to realise was that with every tackle, the bean bag had moved ever so closely to the rather substantially built doll's house that our dad had built for Lucy. This doll's house had been beautifully created over many weekends from large chunks of spare wood that our dad had lying around in his shed. However, its sturdiness was an issue as the final tackle came in, perfectly executed. It was a chop tackle from my brother. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like hard.
Correct.
My applause was probably mistimed as Lucy fell. She was holding the bag, but she fell with it on, and her head hit the doll's house.
Oh, no.
This fall caused rather a large cut on the side of our sister's head and clearly required some treatment. After a brief discussion, my brother and I decided that we probably weren't best qualified, so perhaps we should inform our parents of this slight mishap. In our defence, Father Simon, as caring brothers, we immediately hatched a plan. We needed to ensure our sister got to A&E. However, more importantly, we must make sure that we were in the clear and didn't take the blame.
Yes.
So after lots of persuasion and perhaps a Chinese burn, different times, we managed to convince Lucy that she'd fallen from her bunk and hit her head on the way down, causing this injury. I think we might have overdone this a little bit, telling her that our mum and dad would be furious if they found out the truth, so she'd be much better off telling them our version. Well, fortunately, she agreed to go along with this. Our dad took her to the local hospital where they set about bandaging her up. But the staff were clearly suspicious about the validity of the story we had convinced our sister to recount. At one point, the doctor did take her to one side, away from our dad, and asked her, "How did this really happen?" Well, good for her. We'd done our job well and she stuck to the story and we were home and dry. As a thank you for keeping our names out of this incident, my brother and I went to the village shop to buy Lucy a quarter pound of cola cubes, was her favourite. However, on the short walk home, we became peckish and we thought she wouldn't miss a couple. But unfortunately for Lucy, cola cubes happened to be our very favourite sweet, so we chose to take the longer route home through the churchyard, which gave us just enough time to scoff the lot.
Oh, right.
But at least the thought was there, and we convinced ourselves that she would probably ever have concussion anyway, so wouldn't remember why we'd gone to the shop in the first place. Father Simon, I mean, you're on thin ground here, I have to say. I don't see forgiveness from my sisters. There's no lasting damage from the injury, and because sugar is bad for you, so if anything, we did her a favour. Mm-hmm. Not even the doctor at A&E, who clearly thought the foul play had occurred, but rather my parents, in particular my father, who was the one having to sit in the waiting room as suspicious eyes from all the staff glared at him. There are countless stories from our childhood, but this one, after 40 years... this is the first that our parents have heard of this story. Wow. I mean, I have to say, Nick, if I was your father, I would be mightily displeased, even after all this time, of finding out the truth. But anyway, Nick finishes off by saying, "Happy 50th birthday, Lucy," who I'm sure is thrilled to hear this story. Sister Susie.
Well, Nick, I'm going to side with the younger sister. I'm a younger sister. But it, like, not only all of this, danger, by the way, I'm going to say that. But when you're like, "Oh, we'll get some cola cubes to make you feel better," and then you ate them all. Yes. You couldn't even do that bit
not
right.
Good.
Not forgiven.
I mean, cola cubes are great, but then you do need to give it. The sweets to your sister.
That's true.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. Great to see a bit of solidarity between the siblings there. Everyone's getting on. Don't want to get anyone in trouble. So, you know, best to lie to everyone. Good work. What was a doll's house doing lying around? Should have put that up on the table, obviously. Shouldn't have just been willy-nilly on the floor.
Right.
It's asking to get fell into, my opinion. Also, I love cola cubes. Can you get them anymore? I've no idea. I loved cola cubes.
Yes.
So I don't blame them at all for eating all of those in the churchyard. So for all of those reasons, yes. I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Willy-nilly on the floor.
Willy-nilly on the floor? They were, weren't they?
That doesn't make sense.
No. They were on the floor willy-nilly, the doll's house. So you don't want to put the doll's house there, particularly if it's a precious thing. You want to put it up on the table.
It's just the willy-nilly thing that I...
Yeah, willy-nilly on the floor. Yes. And then people fell over it, very much as I predicted with my willy-nilly thing. So,
I think you've got into serious trouble.
Could
there.
Be the heat. Yeah.
It could well be. Let's blame everything on that. Right, let's turn to the parish notice board. Where Matt steps up one more time. He doesn't have his glasses on, of course, because that would be embarrassing to actually wear the things that enable you to see. So he'll squint at the parish notice.
Well, we've got
board.
It done in Scylla font, haven't we?
So, in Scylla font for you.
So we're fine. So 5 stars, says Cindy T6K. Cindy T6K. 5 stars, appeals to our dark side. What a hoot. Simon and the collective pass judgment on the wildest stories Brits can come up with. Perfect. That sounds like Cindy T6K is not a Brit.
Maybe Canadian or Australian or New Zealander, where it's
could
snowing.
Be. Could be any of those.
Wow.
Well done,
or
Cindy.
Or American.
Or American. That's also another option. Yes well done. 5 stars, says George, real name. Simon, Matt, Holly and Susie are hilarious. Definitely the podcast highlight of my week.
Nice.
Well done, George. And Gary G says 5 stars. Give this man an award already. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, but honestly, I only stay tuned to this one for Matt. The sheer level of charisma, intellect, and effortless charm. This is so good.
Wow.
Effortless charm he brings is unmatched. He is quite literally the glue holding the whole operation together. I clearly am only really saying this so Matt reads it out. Correct. Well done. Definitely worked though. Yeah. Top work team. Simply amazing. 10 out of 10. No notes. Well done,
so
Gary
I don't
G.
think he means any of all of
No, I think he means it, but he knows he's got to write it out. Got to put it in the review or else it doesn't get read out. And those are the rules. So, Gary G, you worked it out. And yes, yeah, we agree with all of those words.
Gary is part of the problem.
Yes, is he? He part of the problem.
Part of the problem. Okay, thank you very much indeed for making everything slightly more problematic.
Yeah.
Susie has found something else, probably more balanced and more informal and more educational.
Oh, well, I really like this one. It's very heartwarming. It's an email from Cameron, who has got in touch with the podcast in the end of April, but he was an anonymous schoolboy at that point. And he said, "Hello, producer Holly and Simon and Matt and Susie. Thank you for my confessions mug. My dad loves it so much. This is me and my dad on Father's Day this morning with all his presents. He loves Spurs just like Simon. Thanks again for the mug. Cameron, no longer anonymous."
And the photograph has got father and son there in bed on Father's Day. He's got the mug. And is that like some pastries or some biscuits, I think? And he's...
Yeah.
And dad's wearing his Spurs kit in bed.
Of course, because that's what you all do.
What a sexy thing. Mm-hmm. What a sexy thing that is.
But yeah, so nice, because he didn't want to give his name away because he didn't want his dad to twig that it was for him.
Of course.
Excellent. Cameron, thank you very much indeed. Thanks for sending us the photo, and well done to Cameron's dad for bringing you up so well. I think we all agree on that.
Yes. Yeah.
If you have anything to add, please send it to our parish notice board, confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Just a few names before we go any further. Paul Frame, Lightbound, it's not a name, Janine Moore, and Astrid M were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, sloppy suppository.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, actually, that tells the whole story, doesn't it?
Thanks, goodness. Matt, for that one. Hey. Matt will have a new secret code phrase for you at the end of the podcast. Last week, he kind of struggled to find it, but we found it in the end.
Did you get it? Yeah, that's what counts. Yeah.
Maybe he'll think about it before we get to the very end of the podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
This time round.
Or maybe not.
Let's dive into the confessions marked not for broadcast. And we start with Sarah. "While we fully support standing up to neighbourhood bullies, it is not okay to marinate boiled sweets against the bristles of the toilet brush, the inside of the kitchen bin, and other places on your body."
Mm. What? Sorry, to put the toilet brush on the side of his body? What does that mean?
Well, he's got boiled sweets.
No, the boiled sweets went around the body parts, and then she gave
body parts
to
toilet brush.
Put the body, but he put boiled sweets on his body parts.
Yes,
and on the toilet.
I mean, I could just shall I just read it again?
It's just obviously probably the delivery.
It's not okay to marinate boiled sweets against the bristles of the toilet brush. I think the meaning is very clear. Uh-huh. The inside of the kitchen bin, again, the meaning is very clear.
Kitchen bin, yeah.
And the other places on your body, again, meaning is very clear.
Right.
Mm. Ryan must have been a horrid boy, but feeding him a biohazard pick and mix in an instant red card.
Yeah.
So here are some sweets, my beloved.
Yes.
Yeah. Blimey, where have these
been? Maybe a little kiddie should have noticed, because you can never wrap them back, can you? Boiled sweets. You should have noticed, these have been tampered with.
Not all boiled sweets have a wrapper.
No, some of them are
that's
just
that's true, they don't
loose.
All have a wrapper. So how is she doing that with the boiled sweet
that's
around
got a
her?
Wrapper, but it does have a small hair on it.
Oh.
From the toilet brush.
Oh, my goodness me.
And Christine. "Dealing with tricky customers in a hairdresser's can be tough." Actually, I think this is quite a good one.
Really? Oh, should this have got through?
"But deliberately dyeing someone's hair bright red when they ask for blonde is dreadful behaviour. When they got upset and started shouting, you ended up having a screaming match in the middle of the street and the police were called."
Oh, wow.
I suppose that's
okay,
the bit
where... that's the reason that's why we've not done it.
Because, yeah.
But isn't that creating a problem? Because they're just going to say, "I asked for blonde, so do it again, but make it blonde." That's
it's
just creating
a
problem for yourself, really, isn't it? I mean, I'm not very aware of the whole world of...
hair dye.
Hair dye. There you go.
Now,
yes.
If you go into a hairdresser and say, "I'd like it blonde," and you walk out with it red...
Yeah. Don't some hair dyes, don't they go a different colour after they've been done?
Susie likes
Suze,
watching
come
different
on,
hair colours.
Tell us how this works. Isn't that, I'm right, aren't I? That sometimes when you do your hair, certain colour, you have to wait for a few hours and then it turns the right colour. I'm right there, yes.
No, well, they develop it, but once they've taken it off, it's the colour that it's gonna be.
Really? I thought if you, because...
Clearly not.
Well, there's some that you dye them green and then they go blonde after a while. pretty sure I...
Or you're just making that up.
Am I making that up? Maybe
I
dreamt that.
Anyway, the key thing is, Christine, most people, I think, would be on the side of your customer.
Yeah, I think so.
Unless there was a particular reason that you completely ignored the customer's wishes, like that priest who gave his dead parishioner the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That kind of thing. But that's anyway, so maybe we need to find out some more from you, Christine, but I'm afraid otherwise you're an NFB.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the confessions that did make the cut, and we join Stephanie, who is getting one back on her husband in her confession. You've been a thunderstruck.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Stephanie. Father Simon, Matt the Forgiver, Sensible Susie and Honourable Holly. And this one begins, I love my husband. I really do. He has worked frontline in child protective services for many years. He is my hero and a great public servant. However, away from the tribulations of work, he reverts to his inner child, full of mischief, dad jokes, and a sense of humour that has equally amused and vexed me over the years. Upon beginning our holiday in Jersey this very spring, his antics began on the ferry, crowding the deck with all the other holidaygoers to see the boat off from the dock. The horn bellowed at its fullest and loudest. Did you say something, dear? He quips from across the deck, creating a chuntering of giggles and laughter. Grinning through my anger, I laughed and waved at him, commenting how funny he was and explaining to confused passengers he was comparing me to the ship's foghorn.
Yes.
Day two, we go to a dairy farm to see the famous Jersey cows. You probably know where this is going. The tour group was stroking the cows and one gave off a massive moo. Did you say something, dear? Ha, 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 I laughed along with the tour group, tapping his shoulder and commenting how clever he was, comparing me to a cow. 2 weeks of this? I don't think so. I was going to have the next laugh. Day four came and the location of the tour will stay anonymous to protect the establishment's integrity. All the adults gathered around the coffee wagon to get their morning fix of caffeine before the tour, all apart from the man-child that is my husband, who instead had a chocolate milkshake made with Jersey cream.
Ooh.
He also convinced a young couple to let their child indulge in a strawberry shake for breakfast, saying, well, we're all on holiday. Well, Father Simon, my husband's stomach has a temperamental relationship with lactose.
Oh.
And he didn't know that the tour was going to be quite so long, and I sensed that this could be my chance. Slurping and finishing his shake, the tour had proceeded a few hours when he began feeling the after effects. He was bloated and lingering behind somewhat. And then, during a moment of silence, the loud rumbling of an agitated stomach and a low whistling whisper of flatulence reverberated. Rolling thunder in a reverberating hall. Like most respectful British folk, everyone politely pretended not to hear it. But it was my turn to show him up. Seizing my chance, I span around. Did you say something, dear? Jaw open, eyes wide, he turned red as the group smirked and turned to look at him. However, it was not his ill tummy and loose wind. Everyone's attention turned instead to the child who had consumed the strawberry shake, you'll remember, at my husband's suggestion, as he was the one having the adverse effects. Squatting and holding his little tummy, his discomfort was visible, begging his parents to quickly find a toilet for him. Embarrassed and annoyed, the parents bickered about whose idea it was to give him a milkshake and ushered him away. They never returned to the tour. It was, of course, my husband. Father Simon, I cried all night. I felt awful drawing attention to them and begged forgiveness for the family and that poor child. My husband also cried, albeit laughing. This during the long bus ride back to the accommodation and throughout the night, and he was still sniggering the next morning. He will be listening. Surely even Matt can see the sense in denying him forgiveness. Well, I'm not at all convinced that's going to happen. Stephanie, who signs it, humble regards.
Yeah.
who got her own back. She thought she got her own back perfectly. Unfortunately, it was the stomach noise came from a small child and not her husband. Although, could you tell the difference? Susie, what do you say to Stephanie?
Well, very funny, Stephanie. I don't think I like your husband. I've not taken to him very well. Comparing you to a foghorn and a cow. And he thinks he's really funny as well. And he was the one whose idea it was to give the child the milkshake in the first place. So I forgive you completely, and I don't forgive your husband.
Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive because it was just funny, wasn't it? He was very funny. The line about, what was that you were saying, dear? I like that. That was very good. And and it was the perfect cover, wasn't it? Because if you're going to break wind, then it's great if there's a child there who's also breaking wind, and you can blame everything on the kiddie.
Oh,
with the Who has a four-hour tour of a dairy farm? There's not that much interesting in it. I'm sure dairy farms are lovely places, but 4 hours? Goodness me. Come on. There's the cow. Thanks very much. There's the milkers. Brilliant. That's an hour. Don't need 4 hours of that. So really, it's the dairy farm's fault. So it's the system. And for those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
It's not, you can't really blame the dairy farm.
Well, would you go on a 4-hour tour? Well, if there was a dairy farm,
if there was there may be some theme rides there. Maybe, ooh, you know, there's like a roller coaster.
A roller coaster? They don't have roller coasters in dairy farms.
I'm sure they probably
that's
do somewhere.
That's not. I mean, I've been
very
to
high
a dairy farm,
and then you go zoomy zoomy down.
No, I know what a roller coaster is. I'm just saying they don't have them in dairy farms typically. Because the cows can't go on them.
It's a water splash, but it's milk when you hit the water.
Oh, it's milk when you hit the water. That's a great idea, yes.
I think so.
Maybe they should think of that.
The Dairy Cow Theme Park.
Dairy Cow Theme Park.
I bet it exists somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Log Flume, that kind of thing.
But there's Dolly World, so there's a Dolly Parton Theme Park. So there should be a Dairy Cow Park.
Dairy World.
Does that work?
Wow.
Dairy
we should
work.
Make sure we register this idea, because I don't want anyone else
Ready
making money.
Radio should definitely branch out in there. Yeah. Anyway, we joined Dave, who's going to be very excited about the opening of a new Aldi in his village, in his confession, working 9 to 5. But first, it's Mr. Lloyd's confession. All that scratching is making me itch.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from Mr. Lloyd. Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. This is slightly distasteful if you're having your tea.
Good. I like those.
Father Simon, I am writing to you to confess my mortal sin pertaining to an unfortunate incident that happened just a few weeks ago. Ooh. I was attempting to complete the lawn mowing after the recent spell of rain and warm weather that has consequently turned my garden into the wilds of Borneo. On completion of the destruction of my own little rainforest, I noticed my German shepherd dog, named Copper, was showing certain signs of discomfort by her excellent impression of a toboggan by dragging her rear end along the newly mown grass,
oh, yes,
presumably to facilitate a scratching effect that would enable her to ditch the itch. I think we'll...
Yeah, we'll do that kind of thing.
This has been a complaint that has plagued my poor dog's rear end from time to time.
Oh, okay.
And the usual remedy... It gets worse.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
The usual remedy for this uncomfortable situation would be for my wife, Ruby, to don a pair of rubber gloves and ease the discomfort with a small dab of Vaseline that provided irritation relief to my beloved dog. On this occasion, though, my wife, still called Ruby, was unavailable to complete the task due to her impending visit to her friends. She therefore instructed me to do said deed. As you may imagine, this is not my favourite pastime. However, I do love my pets. So, I took, as it were, the bull by the horns, or the dog
by
the tail, and powdered my hands to slip on a pair of rubber gloves. Looking around the kitchen, I failed to locate any Vaseline needed to grease the pooch's portal. It's not called that. I therefore shouted upstairs to my wife.
Come on.
My wife was midway through the getting ready process. My wife, ever accommodating, shouted back, "Catch!" And she threw a small container of said lubricant down the stairs and into my hands. Following this, myself and my beloved dog proceeded to the back garden, where I applied the soothing balm to the very surprised looking dog.
Well, it would be.
Indeed.
Being inexperienced in this practice, I failed to apply a sufficient amount of the necessary ointment and felt it necessary to reapply to ensure complete relief for my faithful hound, and on completion, Copper looked happy to continue her day. I returned the pot of lubricant to my wife and continued to tidy up from the previously mentioned mowing duties. After all the tidying was complete, I went upstairs to change, and on entering the bedroom where my loving wife was completing her ensemble, I noticed that she was applying Vaseline to her face.
Oh, no.
I then inquired, is that the same pot of Vaseline that you'd just give me to... She says, yes, why? I then explained that due to my inexperience, I had to double dip my finger in the pot to obtain maximum lubrication. You put your finger back in the pot after the wipe? To say she was not impressed may be a slight understatement, as the container shot past my right ear. I therefore seek forgiveness not from my long-suffering wife, it's her own fault she married me, but from my poor dog, Copper, for any indignity suffered, and the sofa is good for my back when sleeping there anyway.
Yes.
Yours in hope and further hope that I have to make it back into the loving arms of my beautiful wife sometime before the end of the year. That's from Mr. Lloyd. See, I would have thought... If the tub of Vaseline had been used at all for the dog, that's for the dog. You keep it separate. You don't use it as part of your makeup routine.
No, that's true.
But I can understand that she just thought it would be one dip and one wipe and then that's it.
Mm. Yep.
But if you're going to do two, you're going back in and that's not good. Yep. So I can understand the exasperation. Plus, I can understand how Mr. Lloyd got himself into that situation. Sister Suze, what do you think?
Yeah, I can't forgive Mr. Lloyd here. I just, you need a bit more organisation. You should have a Vaseline tub just for this purpose. You could put a label on it that says the dog's name, and therefore you will know that that Vaseline
Copper's Vaseline.
Always for Copper. Yes, Copper's Vaseline. But also, you know, he could have explained it when he gave his wife the Vaseline tub back and said, you know what, I'd maybe, should we just keep this for the dog? Yeah, I think you should. Don't
I
use that
to go twice.
Anywhere else. And yeah, so disgusting. No, thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Don't forgive.
Brother Matthew.
I mean, this is one of those chores, isn't it, that nobody's really going to look forward to applying the Vaseline to your... to your dog's thing.
Pooch's
portal, yes. And you're right, they should have two pots of Vaseline, but who has two pots of Vaseline? I don't. But then I don't have a dog.
I've got many.
And also, you never know how much you're going to need. I wouldn't know how much you need to put onto the thing. It could be too much. You don't want to have too much because then it'll fall off. So, yes. Oh, let's say we're going to forgive. The thing around the... But let's just say we're going to forgive. There you go.
Yeah.
Send us into the weekend.
Okay. Yeah.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Dave. All right, Dave. Father Simon and the all-forgiving collective of kindness. My family and I live in a quiet, small town where not much of any great significance ever seems to happen. But around 6 years ago... Two exciting events presented themselves upon our shared horizons. My eldest daughter was about to become a teenager, grand old age of 13, obviously, and a new Aldi supermarket store was announced to open in our little town. As fate would have it, these two exciting events were scheduled to occur on the same day. Our town has quite limited shopping options. There's a Tesco Express, a spa shop, and an old independent corner shop, almost identical to Arkwright's in the BBC sitcom Open All Hours, replete with its own Ronnie Barker look-alike, stood behind the counter his light brown overcoat. To us, the prospect of an Aldi supermarket opening was very exciting. All Las Vegas razzmatazz. It was also our daughter's 13th, as I mentioned, and for her present, she had requested a fancy pair of Nike Air Max trainers. These would be her first ever pair of expensive designer trainers, and she was very keen to throw out her Tesco budget plimsolls, an upgrade to a member of the trendy crew. She'd been very specific about the exact pair that she desired. They were ice white, like someone who had recently had their teeth upgraded at a dentist in Turkey, save for the tiniest hint of pink in the logo branding on the shoe's tongue. But you get the picture.
Yeah.
Our daughter was very excited to receive these, and we were treated to a daily countdown of the days remaining until her special day from about 6 weeks prior. And so the countdown had begun for our daughter's birthday and to the exciting opening of our town's very first Aldi supermarket. Finally, that eventful day arrived. It was a Saturday, and we were all off from work and school. That afternoon, my daughter proudly put on her brand new ice white Nike Air Max trainers, and we took a 15-minute stroll into town to try out the high glamour of our town's first Aldi, which has been mentioned a number of times now.
You're doing very well out of this. Yeah.
Luckily for my daughter, it was a glorious sunny summer's day with very dry ground. Otherwise, she wouldn't have risked wearing her lovely new trainers for fear of making them dirty. At the Aldi store, there was another mention, there was music pumping out and balloons were being given away. There was also face painting for the kids as a lovely party atmosphere filled the new supermarket. We collected a trolley and started exploring the aisles of this new mecca to see what treasures it held within. As we walked down the aisles, party music was playing alongside the DJ announcements of the many bargains and offers to be had. It was all very exciting. The song 9 to 5 by the Queen of Country, Dolly Parton, came on over the speakers. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. Says Dave, just showing that he knows the lyrics.
Yeah.
I don't really know why, Father Simon, but the combination of the party music, my daughter's birthday, and the general new supermarket excitement in our small town rather got the better of me. And as we walked down the fresh produce aisle, I noticed the rather succulent large watermelons that were for sale.
Okay.
I decided that it would be hilarious to pick up two of these watermelons and do a little Dolly Parton impression whilst miming to her song. I lifted two up, one in each hand, and started performing. My wife and daughter laughed with appreciation for their husband/father's comedy genius. Spurred on by their appreciation, I continued my Dolly mime. As the song's chorus came to an end, I decided to add a little flourish. Quote, they just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. And on the word crazy, I decided to perform a sort of comedy Mexican wave with the two watermelons.
Oh, no.
And I lifted one up and then the other back and forth a few times. And it was at this precise moment of the performance that really the confession kicks off. Because as the watermelons did their Mexican wave, the grip of them in my hands began to falter. I felt the first and then the second falling from my grasp. Father Simon, I would like to seek forgiveness from my beautiful daughter. On her 13th birthday, during the first wearing of her very first fancy pair of trainers, because of my and the legendary Dolly Parton's actions, her ice white Nike Air Max trainers, not Tesco plimsolls, with just a hint of pink on the brand logo on the tongue, changed to all pink with just a hint of white. Her trainers were ruined. I would like to also seek forgiveness from the staff member at Aldi who on their first day in the job had to mop up two watermelons that had dropped to the floor and exploded over everything in their vicinity. Skin, flesh, and hundreds of seeds, all coated in melon slime, were now spread over two white trainers, and they were over many square meters with smashed, pulpy watermelon. I apologise to both the staff member and my daughter very sincerely, but I could clearly tell at the time that neither person was particularly accepting of the apology. I have since become a regular patron of our town's Aldi store, another mention.
There it is.
And have refrained from any more Dolly Parton impressions since that eventful day. I promise to continue to uphold the Dolly Parton ban indefinitely. I think that's a very wise... Ooh. Very wise thing there from Dave. What did you think? It was a sharp musical change.
Just a tad.
Yeah.
No, I think that was all part of the same piece of music. Oh, Sister Susan, what do you say to Dave?
Well, Dave, what a mess. Like, it doesn't say, but I hope he bought his daughter some new shoes because, sticky watermelon all over them is not good. And I love Dolly, as you know, and I am not sure I would have found it that funny. Little bit, yes, but I think he went too far. And for that reason, I'm not going to forgive him.
Brother Matthew.
Feels like this is firmly in the territory of dad jokes, isn't it? And we must protect dad jokes at all costs. He was having a lot of fun there with the watermelons. And it was all very, very funny up until the point where the watermelons went for a Burton and ended up all over the shoes. And maybe there weren't any shoes that were pink. Maybe you need to think about that. Limited edition shoes, maybe? No? Well, it all went well in the end. And Aldi don't need any forgiveness, given that, you know, they've had plenty of mentions already, so they're going to be very happy. And the daughter got the shoes, probably got some more shoes. Who knows? But it all went well.
61054.
So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
I didn't think you were ever going to stop there.
No.
Well, you were like, it was like you were on just a minute.
Oh, yes, I kept going. I did very well on that. Yes, yes, very good. Well done. Yes.
Did you get everything out that you wanted to say?
I think I did. Normally I don't, but it's a bit, you know, throw it all up in the air, see what lands kind of thing. So I definitely did.
I had to jump in because we were heading towards the news.
Yes.
And that was the problem. Mixed reaction on the people's verdict, including this one from Gary, who had an opinion on what Dolly would have thought.
Gary says, forgiven, Dolly would have found that hilarious. After all, she did streak through Tom Jones's garden, which seems irrelevant. I don't know why that
did
works.
She?
But I don't know.
Oh, well.
Let's hope she did.
If Gary said so, it must be true. Is that true, Suze? Do you know?
I've never heard that before.
I did look it up. She's admitted on a talk show that she once sprinted or streaked through his...
Well, it's quite a difference.
Sprinted and streaked. Well, so both of them.
A sprint is a run with clothes on.
Yeah, with clothes on.
That is true. And a sprint is a run with clothes on.
Yes.
So she definitely did those through his garden.
Did she sprint or streak?
Sprinting or streaking, she said, through the garden.
But which one?
So one of those, she said.
But which of them?
Well, sprinting or streaking. It feels like an Abbott and Costello routine.
Well, it's just like the 100 metres at the Olympics.
Yes,
they're sprinting.
Is a
or are
sprint.
They streaking?
Well,
I can't tell the difference.
I would say that is a sprint.
Right.
Whereas Dolly Parton was either sprinting or streaking through Tom Jones's garden.
She couldn't remember which.
I think I've forgotten from the... but it was definitely there.
No, it says she did, yeah. She confirmed
the
story.
That she sprinted or streaked through his garden.
After drinking a few too many margaritas at a Mexican restaurant, they drove past Tom Jones's house in Los Angeles and they gave her a dare to streak through his yard. There you go.
How are you getting into Tom Jones's garden? That's amazing.
I don't know, particularly if you've got no clothes on. That's a little bit of
maybe think about that, Dolly. I mean,
a bit of a hazard.
All the gooseberries.
Anyway, well, that was slightly unusual. Does Tom grow gooseberries?
He's famously got gooseberries all around his property.
What about watermelons? Does he grow watermelons?
Watch out for the watermelons.
It's just, is he just bringing us back to our previous confession?
He is, yeah. Great callback there, Tom.
You see.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
I think that's just as well that we're going to finish at this point as we're heading back towards the sewer. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk if you want to send us some stuff. Over to Brother Matthew, who might have prepared this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, and the secret code phrase this week, a little bit long, but let's go with it anyway. Boiled sweets all over my body. Boiled sweets all over my body.
If you've made it this far, you can post all of that on Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram or X. If you could find Matt's feed.
Yes, my there. Feed. Find my feed. Yeah.
Remember to leave us a 5-star review and don't forget to share the podcast with a friend in the shower because it's good for the environment.
It is now, yeah.
We'll be back next week with another fresh batch of confessions. Until then, Sister Susie says...
Bye-bye.
Sister Holly can't be bothered.
No.
But Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.